chapter number 9, Daniel chapter number 9. You might ask the question, why do we preach concerning Israel? Why do we look at these prophecies? And I want to just throw out before we look at the message here a couple of quick thoughts here tonight. And I believe, number one, that God is real and that God's promises are real, that God never fails. And as we look at Israel, we can see the faithfulness of God. It's a reminder to us, if you're saved, of God's faithfulness. God will never break his promise and his covenant. And so I'm thankful for that. I think furthermore, it's evidence that the Bible is the Word of God. And as we look at the promises of the Bible says that every jot and every tittle will be fulfilled, and that not one word of God will fall to the ground. And we'll find in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ minute details of prophecy that were fulfilled. And likewise, as we move toward the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many details that will be fulfilled. And we're in the process of witnessing the miracles of Bible prophecy before our very eyes. I think as we look at our topic tonight, you can see how quickly, how easily this could come to pass. You know, I really, my thinking has changed over the last few years. As we have seen the introduction of COVID into the world, and I call it a plandemic. Now, that wasn't my wording there. I took that from another preacher. But I think this is something that has been planned out. I believe there is a spiritual war and a spiritual battle. And we have seen with COVID and with the response, it's the first time in all the history of the world that we had a worldwide response to such an issue. And every nation, and if you look at the background of the World Health Organization and all that was involved in the response and the protocols that were given, it was a worldwide response. Never in the history has that taken place. I believe that the events over the last few years have moved us closer than ever to a world dictator. And I believe we are on the verge of a man of sin, the Bible calls him, that will rise to power. And our world is looking for answers today, and our world is so vulnerable today. And there's a principle in the Word of God that when you reject light, it leads to darkness. And when the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected, it opens the door to a false Messiah, to a false Christ. When men reject truth, they will believe a lie. And we're coming into a world situation where truth has been rejected, and a world will believe a lie and worship that lie that the Bible is pointing to. I think the response to COVID has shown us so very much how easily such an event could take place in our world. Now, with that, that's an introduction tonight. If you find your place, Daniel chapter 9, I want to read an amazing prophecy that is at the end of this chapter. If you would stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word, if you're able to. Daniel chapter 9, and we'll pick up. We'll make a few comments here after we pray here together tonight, and then have our focus tonight as we look at the covenant with Israel and a coming Antichrist. Now, here the Bible begins in verse 24, this prophecy concerning the Jews, concerning Israel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, this is Daniel, and his people are the Jews. And so this is speaking of Israel, of the Jews. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 80 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come. Now notice this, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. And so that tells us this was the Romans. They destroyed the city in 70 AD. And so the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now we're going to come and work our way through some of this prophecy tonight and then relate this prophecy concerning the coming Antichrist and the covenant between Antichrist and this nation of Israel. If you'll join me, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we sure do need him tonight, and let's ask his help and guidance. Let's take a moment just to yield to him. Father, we thank you tonight already, just your presence in this place. It's always good to be able to come and fellowship together. I'm grateful for the unity of spirit that you've given us here at Valley Bible Baptist, and Lord, the local church that you've blessed us with. I thank you for just how you add to the church such as should be saved. And it's you that, Lord, you bring a church together. And I pray here tonight as we open your word that, Lord, you would be our teacher and that you would guide us into truth. This might not just be head knowledge that we gain tonight, but, Lord, this would be of eternal value, something that would build our hope, that would build our faith in you, that would cause us to lift up our eyes and look ahead because our redemption draws nigh. And Lord, I thank you already for what you will do and how you'll speak tonight. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this evening. And I want to just start here before we get into this tonight and just break down a few thoughts here in Daniel chapter 9. Just make a couple of statements. It becomes very evident here that for these end time prophecies to be fulfilled, there must be a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And there is a lot of talk today that is taking place concerning the rebuilding of this temple. In fact, I've heard just this last week several interesting facts of just that desire to rebuild a temple. And even some have proposed kind of a temporary temple that would be placed there upon the Temple Mount. And that was interesting to hear. Now, another aspect that becomes evident is not only will there be a rebuilt temple, but it's evident that temple sacrifice will be reinstituted. And just this past week, I heard that there have been several leaders, Orthodox Jews within Israel, that have been behind the scenes making preparations for, again, temple sacrifices to take place. And thus the proposal of a temporary site where those sacrifices might take place. If you followed the news over the last couple of years, there have been 5 red heifers which would be necessary for the dedication of that temple. And if you go back into the Old Testament, a red heifer would be necessary. And there was a rancher in Texas that has now developed a very pure red heifer, and they have been transported to Israel and they are being protected. And some said that even the attacks on October the 7th were an attempt to destroy those red heifers that have been brought from Texas into Israel and have been protected there for this reinstitution of the temple and the temple sacrifice. Now, that's not what I'm preaching on tonight, but I want to just give you some of that background information as to what's taking place in our world today. Now, let's look here at Daniel chapter 9 before we get into the thought tonight. And here's a tremendously important prophecy concerning Israel. In verse 24, the Bible says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So it's evident here that we're talking about Daniel's people, the Jews, Israel. We're talking about Jerusalem, the holy city. And God determined to deal with Israel for 70 weeks. And he said it would take that 70 weeks for him to bring about an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. As you study this prophecy, the scripture, you'll find that these 70 weeks are representative of 70 periods of 7 years, or a total of 490 years. And God then breaks down this 490 years, and it starts with the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. We know of this in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah. We've dealt with this in the past, and I believe had the Jews been alert to this prophecy in the book of Daniel, they would have known the very day in which their Messiah would ride into the city of Jerusalem upon a donkey, and then he would be betrayed, he would be then crucified, and that very timing was given through this particular prophecy. You notice in verse number 25 as God breaks down these 490 years. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem to the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. The first period was that of 70 weeks or 7 weeks, 49 years to rebuild. And we can go back in history and discover that took place. Another 62 weeks to Messiah to be cut off. And then in verse number 26, after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. And this would be the time when Jesus Christ again would be taken. He would be crucified. And again, had the Jews been alert, they would have known that very time. But they were blinded and they missed their Messiah. They rejected the Messiah. And he goes on to say he would be cut off. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. And that took place in 70 AD. That was the Roman Empire that destroyed the city in 70 AD. And here the Bible speaks of a period of 7 years that is still left for God's dealing with the Jewish nation. Still missing 7 years. 7 years, as you look at this prophecy, have not been fulfilled, have not been completed. Now, as we look and we can look back with hindsight now, we know Messiah was cut off. 483 years, and you can find that to the very very time frame, the very date where Jesus was crucified. He was cut off. And now we've entered into this day of grace, this period of church history, and yet there's still 7 years that God is going to deal with the Jews. We know that the prince that shall come, and I believe in this prophecy, this is the Antichrist, that priest that shall come, or prince that will come, will rise out of a revived 10-nation Roman Empire, Roman Confederacy. We know of this coming prince the Bible speaks of here as the Antichrist. Now let's take and just look a few verses here in introduction here tonight. We mentioned in our Sunday school class, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, if you go there for just a moment and keep your place in Daniel 9, we're coming back there. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 18, we read a lot about an Antichrist in the Bible. In chapter 2, verse number 18, little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby you know that it is the last time. So here the Bible tells of an Antichrist that shall come, and this word anti means opposed to or against Christ or the opposite Christ. He is a counterfeit to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to seek to take the place of Christ. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians. And in chapter number 2, there is a section of Scripture that is given to the description of this Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3, it reads, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first." And then he says, "That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." I do not believe that we will know who Antichrist will be until the rapture takes place, until the Lord calls his children home, and then that man of sin will be revealed. The Bible calls him the son of perdition. And the Bible speaks of him in verse 4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." This is what the Bible in Daniel speaks of, the abomination of desolation, where this Antichrist will proclaim himself to be God. "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And again, when man rejects the light, it leads to darkness. And here's a world that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, has rejected truth, that will be blinded and led to the following of this Antichrist. Turn to the book of Revelation chapter number 6, Revelation chapter 6, and then to Revelation chapter 13. In Revelation chapter 6, I believe in chapter 4, we have the calling up hither, and it's a picture of the rapture. We have in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, the saints in heaven with the Lord near the throne of God. And then we go back to planet Earth after the rapture in chapter 6 of Revelation. We have this seven-year period. We said there are still 7 years that are given to the Jewish nation. And now we enter into this time of tribulation. So Revelation chapter 6 in verse number 1, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Here we have a rider on a white horse, and it's evident here this is a counterfeit to the Lord Jesus Christ. This rider on the white horse is going to offer to the world peace. He's going to be a negotiator, a great negotiator, offering the world a peace, but his false peace will lead to war. You go to chapter 6 and verse number 3, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. Power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Now, our world today is looking for peace. But the Bible warns in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, that when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Here, Antichrist offers to the world a false peace. Can you imagine today the right person could rise to power, this right person seeming to have the answers for all of the world's difficulties, all of the trouble in the Middle East, being able to negotiate a peace deal, and the world will literally follow after this man. This man will receive great power and great authority, but that power and that authority, that peace will be short-lived and soon leads to war. You go to chapter 13, we have a further description of this Antichrist in chapter 13 of Revelation. In verse number 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea," and this would represent the Gentile nations, "and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, upon his horns 10 crowns. Daniel speaks much about this, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority." Here's a beast rising out of Gentile nations, as we know the Roman Empire from Daniel chapter number 9. In verse number 4, this man will be worshipped and demand worship. They worship the dragon which gave power to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" In verse number 8, "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb or in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." In verse number 15, "And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." And so here he's demanding the worship of the world. The Bible says here in Revelation 13, he will speak blasphemy in verses 5 and 6, speaking great things, blasphemies. He opened his mouth in verse 6 in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. He persecutes God's people in verse number 7. "It was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. Power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." He will rule the nations of the world. He will deceive the world, the Bible speaks of here, and he will control the economy of the world. In verse number 16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And by the way, that technology is available and present today there for this very thing, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that understand hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 603 score and 6. And let me just mention something. My wife and I were in Sam's Club here just a couple of weeks ago, and as we are leaving Sam's Club, and if you've been there, you know they check your receipt and they check your items that you have just purchased, and we noticed this new canopy that has been installed there within Sam's Club. And so I had an opportunity, I spoke to this woman, I said, what is this? And basically, it's the point where you'll just drive your cart out and it'll scan everything there all at once, and it's going to have the knowledge of what you purchased and what you didn't purchase. And the technology is present today to fulfill all of the scripture that we speak about. We're living in some exciting days. You're witnessing Bible prophecy before your very eyes. You know, the world right now is being prepared to receive this beast, this Antichrist. This world has rejected the gospel, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you reject light, it leads to darkness. And the past few years have made it very clear how easily an Antichrist can rise to power. Now, I'm just giving that as a foundation. We preached a lot about that as we went through the book of Revelation and through the book of Daniel. What I want to do tonight is focus on the part that the Antichrist will play concerning the nation of Israel. And that is what Daniel chapter 9 is all about. So I want you to go back to Daniel chapter number 9. And Daniel chapter 9 looks at this Antichrist, this coming priest, in light of the Jews, or Daniel's people, or the nation of Israel. And I want to give you four thoughts concerning the Antichrist and this nation of Israel as we look at Bible prophecy. And I think as you look at our world events today, and you see what happened on October the 7th, and you see various events that are taking place, I think it's evident we're on the verge of the fulfillment of these very things. Now, the first principle that we'll point out is Israel deceived. Israel deceived. Notice in chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 27. It reads of this prince, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. There's still this week that is left, this period of 7 years left for the Jewish nation. Now, Israel rejected the true Messiah. We read of Jesus, he came unto his own received him not. We read of the blindness that came to the nation of Israel. Jesus warned this nation that because of their rejection of him, that their house would be left unto them desolate. We've mentioned the prophecy of the Lord Jesus as he looked out over Jerusalem. And he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how often I've longed to gather you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks, and you would not. And he speaks of that nation would be destroyed. They would be scattered to the four winds of the earth. They rejected the light, and as we have mentioned, rejected light leads to darkness. It leads to blindness. Now, Israel is still looking for the Messiah. We traveled to New York City. I spoke with many Jews and some Orthodox Jews. It was interesting just to, as I would spark up a conversation, it was interesting to speak with them of the Messiah. They are still looking for a Messiah. We had an opportunity back years ago when Naomi was still in school here, and she was doing a report on Israel, and we had an opportunity really as a family to go, and Naomi interviewed a Jewish rabbi. And one of the questions that was asked to this Jewish rabbi was concerning the Messiah. And he spoke, and they are still looking for the prophecy, still looking for the Messiah. And why would they be looking for the Messiah? They rejected the true Messiah, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when Antichrist comes, Israel will be deceived by this false Messiah. Today, Israel is open to this deception. You know, such a frightening way as you think about this. Their backs are against the wall. Day by day, they are facing a barrage of rockets, of wars, of bombs. Our world today, and you listen to any kind of news today, there is a great amount of anti-Semitism. If you followed recently the proclamation of the United Nations, they have condemned Israel and its response to the attacks on October the 7th. And very sadly, our own nation sat in silence as the United Nations condemned the response of Israel to this. And the media today is portraying Israel in a very negative light. And Israel is under a lot of pressure today from the world, from Arab nations that surround them. And the pressure upon Israel is such that today Israel fights for its very survival. Now, when Antichrist comes along, Antichrist will negotiate a false peace, a covenant with Israel, as the Bible describes it here. Perhaps allowing this rebuilt Jewish temple that we've mentioned, maybe allowing the temple sacrifices, offering peace, offering security. Whatever he offers, however, is going to be very attractive to Israel. And this man, as we have mentioned, will be a great negotiator, and he will be able to negotiate this peace between the Arabs and between the Jews. He will be this powerful negotiator, and whatever he brings to the table is going to be acceptable both to the Jews, to the Arabs, and to the Gentiles. He's going to appear to side with Israel for this time, making this covenant with them, and as the Bible describes, Israel will accept this covenant and its terms, and they're going to accept the Antichrist. They're going to see him for this time as the very Messiah, as a substitute Savior. John chapter 5, verse number 43, Jesus made this statement. He said, I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. And then he says, if another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. And I think this is a prophecy of that one that will come in his own name, and this nation will receive him. And so we see, first of all, here tonight, Israel deceived. And then go with me to Daniel chapter 9, verse number 27, Israel betrayed. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. In the midst of the week, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Now the covenant will be for a week, as we have described, for 7 years. But in the midst of the week, 3.5 years, he will break this covenant with this nation. At this point, Israel is going to recognize him as the false Messiah. That peace that they've known will turn to war. And let me just express that Satan is very deceptive. And Satan offers false peace. And when you make a covenant with Satan, the end result is always death and destruction at the end. The Bible speaks of the abomination of desolation. Now notice in chapter 12 of the book of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse number 11. He says here in this prophecy, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and notice this, the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, just over 3.5 years. So this abomination of desolation taking place in the midst of this 7-year covenant with Israel. As you read, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Again, keep your place in Daniel. But Matthew chapter 24, Jesus told of this abomination, this time of desolation. In Matthew chapter 24, he's warning this gospel, Matthew, and this section of scripture is given in particular to the Jews during the time of the tribulation. In verse number 15, Matthew 24, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And he's given this warning to the Jews at that point, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. I believe that Antichrist, in the midst of this tribulation, will make his way to Jerusalem. He will set himself up in the temple as God. He will demand to be worshipped as God. And God gives warning to the Jewish nation. He will be, Antichrist will be a great blasphemer. He will receive worship that is only due unto God. And so we'll read here that Israel will first of all be deceived, but then Israel will be betrayed. Now in Matthew chapter 24, thirdly, Israel will be persecuted. You'll notice there that term that we mentioned, the great tribulation in verse 21. He says, then shall be great tribulation. Now I believe as we study Bible prophecy, this tribulation time is that period of 7 years. It's that final 7 years that God has given to the nation of Israel. That first 3.5 years will be relatively peaceful. But the latter part of the tribulation is what is known as the Great Tribulation. Now also we read in other chapters in the Old Testament, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be the time when Antichrist will turn against the nation of Israel. He will turn against Christians, against the nation of Israel. There'll be great persecution such as the world has never known. And God here gives the warning to the Jewish nation that they're to leave Jerusalem, they're to flee the city, they're to make their way to a place of safety. Antichrist will persecute all that will not worship him, all that will not take the mark of the beast. Now go with me to the book of Revelation once again. We read a few verses a moment ago in chapter 13. In Revelation chapter 13, and just a couple of statements here. In verse number 7, Revelation 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In verse number 15, he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So we know that this image will be set up in the midst of the tribulation. All that will not worship that image, the Bible says, will be killed. So when Antichrist breaks the treaty with Israel, he will persecute them as no other has ever done. It's going to be a very dark hour. Now, we have seen some dark days for the Israeli nation, for the Jews in the history of the world. There have been within Russia the pogroms, and there have been millions that were killed because of their Jewish background. We know of the Holocaust, and if you ever go to Israel, to Jerusalem, I want to encourage you to go to the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. And you won't walk out of there the same. It will change your life. If you have an opportunity to go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., it will be life-changing just to see what is taking place in the history of Israel as a nation. You know, God warned them that when they would reject the Messiah, their house would be left unto them desolate, and you follow their history. That has been the very course of their history. But we haven't seen anything yet. The Bible speaks here of the time of the tribulation. It's going to be more hard and horrible than anything they've experienced to this point. Israel will be persecuted as they have never been persecuted before. All that will not take the mark of the beast will be destroyed. They will be killed. And during the time of the tribulation, I believe there will be a multitude that will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We read in Revelation chapter 7, 144,000 witnesses. And by the way, these are Jewish witnesses, 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe. And they will preach to the nations of the world. But in those days, to receive Jesus Christ as Savior is going to be certain death. So the Bible tells that nation during this time of persecution, when that abomination of desolation takes place, when Israel is betrayed, that they need to flee into the wilderness because they will face great persecution. So we read Israel deceived, Israel betrayed, and then Israel persecuted. But I want to give one last point and go back with me to Daniel chapter number 9. Israel protected. Israel protected. In Daniel chapter 9, verse number 27, there's a neat statement. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That is the false peace. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. That's the betrayal of that peace. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate. There is the persecution, even until the consummation. Even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And I believe this consummation refers to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Antichrist is going to be allowed to continue to reign until the coming of Christ. During his reign, he will seek and sack and destroy Jerusalem. He will persecute the Jews and any that come to Christ and all that will not receive the mark of the beast. He will ultimately call the armies of the world to a final battle. We know of that battle as the Battle of Armageddon. The future World War III that comes upon the world. During that time, God will draw his people to a place of safety and protection in the wilderness. And some have called this a place named Petra, where God there will protect his people as the Antichrist wreaks his havoc upon the world. Now, go with me back to Daniel chapter 9. I am so thankful for this, that Antichrist's days will be numbered. He will be allowed to rule the world, but for only a short space and time. His days will be numbered. Daniel chapter 7, in verse number 21. Daniel 7, verse number 21. And it says, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Antichrist's days will be numbered. He will prevail against the saints until the Ancient of Days came. That's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the consummation spoken of in Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 27. Go back with me to Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Daniel chapter 2. And as you look in Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 34, Daniel 2, verse 34, in this vision or dream of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel says, thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Daniel gives the interpretation, verse 43, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of man, but they shall not cleave one to another. This is that revived Roman Empire, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This is the hope that God's people have. Go with me to the book of Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, and you will see that Antichrist's days will be numbered. He will be allowed to reap havoc upon the world, and this will bring about the repentance of the Jewish nation. And the book of Romans chapter 11 says of a time that all of Israel will be saved. They will be alerted and awakened to the fact that Antichrist is a false Messiah. They have missed the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Joseph's brethren were introduced unto Joseph and their hearts were broken at the very one that they betrayed, the very one that they sold into slavery, so it will be for the Jewish nation as they look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will recognize they missed the Messiah, and they will be brought in repentance and faith to the true Messiah. God gives the 7 years of tribulation to bring about that repentance in their lives. But it comes to an end in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11. As we're coming to the end of the tribulation, we're coming to the end of this battle of Armageddon, And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. This is a different white horse than we read about in Revelation chapter 6. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. The other was a deceiver and an antichrist. This one is faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's the opposite of antichrist. When he came to the scene, he was not righteous, and he made war selfishly. Of this Savior, his eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I believe those that are raptured are taken to heaven with the Lord prior to the seven-year tribulation. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, we come back. You see, at the beginning, he comes for his saints. At the end, he comes back with his saints. So I'm going to be a cowboy that day, riding on a white horse. And I fell off of the horses when I was on the farm, but not this one. Amen. The Lord will keep me on this one. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress in fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast. This is the Antichrist. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. See, at the end of the tribulation, Antichrist is going to gather all of the armies of the world from the east and the west and the north and the south. They're converging in the Valley of Megiddo. We know that it's the Battle of Armageddon. Now, it's the pretense of coming against Israel. It's the pretense of coming against Jerusalem, but in reality, he's gathering these armies to have one last final attempt to overthrow the Lord Jesus Christ. What a foolish attempt. And the beast, verse 20, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which deceived them that he received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. You read 1,000 years later in Revelation chapter 20, they're still in hell where they will burn forever and ever. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which the sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. See, God will protect his own. This is the warning that God gives. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8, that this man of sin will be destroyed by the very word of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here, as we look to this Antichrist and the relationship with Israel, Israel will be deceived. Israel will be betrayed. Israel will be persecuted, but Israel will be delivered by the hand of God. And you can see all of that in God's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, as God gives a final 7 years to his nation. I just would quickly point out to us that the Word of God never falters or fails. And wasn't it an amazing thing that in 1948, Israel became a nation again? That was a miracle that took place. We witnessed that here in the world. And all of these events are preparing the way. You're going to hear more and more news about a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. Why? All of these prophecies will come to pass. You're going to begin to hear news about temple sacrifices being reinstituted. Why? Because the Antichrist is going to put an end to those sacrifices. And before he can put an end to the sacrifices, they've got to be started again. And so you're going to hear news of that taking place. You live in an exciting day. You're getting to witness the preparations of these final events. One last statement. History is his story. My God is sovereign. He's in total control. And so as you look at the events of the world today, if you know Jesus Christ, this is nothing to worry about or fear. Friend, you live in an exciting day, and you have a Savior that keeps you and holds you. Wonderful promise that God gives. Every head bowed.